Still in the name of Jesus. Today I have a New Year message for you. And if you have Bible, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, please. I'm going to read from verse 15 to verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to verse 21. Alright, verse 15 says, "That see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Verse 19, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in the fear of God." That ends the reading, and let us pray. Father, once again, thank you for your precious scripture, and this new year we want to commit ourselves to you, and may you speak to us through this portion of the scripture. And I pray that as I speak, Father, you begin to fill, Lord, your people, Lord, with the zeal and passion for the new year. And I pray, Father, as the word is spoken, you anoint your servant to speak, and Lord, life and spirit will flow out of my mouth, and you will infuse and you will instill, Father, Lord, your people, Lord, with that enthusiasm, Father. I pray, Father, Lord, that they will be lifted up, they will be encouraged, and they will be rejuvenated, recharged, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray you also anoint them to have a receptive heart and receptive ears. And so, Lord, your grace and favor be upon them. And Lord, we once again, we commit this new year to you, and you lead and guide us by the Holy Spirit. And may we, Lord, continue, Lord, to align our life, Lord, in accordance to your will. In the mighty name of Jesus, and God's people say, Amen. Amen. Now today is the first Sunday of the new year 2025, and it is the close of an old chapter and the beginning of a new year 2025. And so I'd like to take this opportunity to wish everyone a very blessed, healthy and a joyous new year 2025. Alright, last year, as I said, 2024, it was a difficult year in general for the world. The Ukraine war is still ongoing, and then on top of that, Israel was actually waging a war with the surrounding neighbors, with the Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and to some extent, the Houthis in Yemen. And so, also on a global basis, most people and nations are actually experiencing inflation and also cost of living pressure. Now, on a personal basis, I'm sure some of you had a good year, some bad. But many of us will experience actually a mixed bag of the good, bad, and the ugly. Now, be it good, bad, and ugly, there are always many things that we can be thankful for, especially to God. And yes, you did not hear me wrongly, and even for the bad and the ugly. I'm thankful not for the bad and the ugly things per se, but if we adopt the right attitude of learning, God can turn the bad and the ugly around for good and for His glory. Because we know from Romans 8:28, it says all things, not some things, but all things can work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. And so, for example, we can learn some lessons and grow in wisdom from the bad and the ugly things. As we start the new year, we normally want to take stock of whether we have lived meaningfully and purposefully of last year. And therefore, first thing is we want to reflect and see how we can make the new year 2025 and beyond more purposeful, and so that we can finish well and we can finish strong in Christ Jesus. And so today it is appropriate for me to speak on a new year message, and the title of my message is cultivating five habits for purposeful living, or cultivating five good or godly habits for purposeful living. Now, when I say purposeful, I mean things that matter in eternity. Things that counts in God's sight and they have eternal value. Now, from the text that we just read from Ephesians chapter 5, and there are five good or godly habits to cultivate for purposeful living for the year 2025 and beyond. And I'm going to list it out for you. And the first one is walk wisely from verse 15. Second, make good use of your time or the make best use of the time, verse 16. And then the third thing is living out and doing God's will, verse 17. And the fourth habit is be filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 18. And then the fifth thing is worship God with vitality, verse 19. Now these five godly habits will make our life count for God because it is from God's word. And putting God's word into action or into practice will always have some eternal value. And so let's go through the first habit. Number one, walk wisely, verse 15. By that, I want to more or less focus on listening to God more. Now, in verse 15, the NIV version says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Walking wisely is a very broad subject. However, I want to focus on just one area and speak from a different slant. Now, the New King James Version put it this way. It says that, see that you walk circumspectly as wise. Now, it has the idea of actually walking on a narrow path, actually next to a steep slope. And so, walk wisely and carefully, lest you take a misstep and then plunge into a big fall. Now, all of us are actually city dwellers. Often we are guilty of living too fast in this urban living. And we make so many snap decisions and too many hasty decisions, and we tend to speak too fast and we react too fast. Now, we answer before we hear the question. And we just keep on pressing the life trotter forward because we think that speed means progress. And we are hesitant to slow down. And this can even spill into our spiritual conduct, going fast in the name of God. And we want to right the wrong of the world too fast. And we try to win the world too fast. And because we speak too fast, our words are often hasty and ill-timed. And we tend to go before we are ready. Now speak before we have anything to say. And teach before we are taught. And build high before we build deep. And what happens when we hurry, hurry, hurry? Now you don't watch where you're going and then you trip and you fall. And often we trip not in the pursuit of evil, but in the pursuit of good. And so the answer lies not in getting more organized, but in the ancient words of the psalmist. It says, be still and know that I am God. Psalms 46 verse 10. And so God has things to say to us, to guide us to walk in wisdom. And when we slow down enough to get God involved, listen more to Him for His guidance before acting, our walk in life will certainly be wiser. And so we hurry and we get busy physically and mentally. And that spiritually we become insensitive to God's voice. And even when we do nothing physically, but mentally our minds are busy thinking of the many cares and the burdens of life. And when the Holy Spirit tries to get our attention, speak to our spirit man, we are totally oblivious. And so may we learn to develop stillness and learn to hear more from God. Now, the good news is that hearing from God isn't a very special privilege reserved only for pastors, leaders, or Bible college graduates, or the gifted. Now, you don't even have to be an adult to hear God. Even the child, Samuel, could hear God's voice if one has a strong desire and adopts a listening heart. And so the most important posture is a contemplative heart to hear and to obey his voice. Now, a theologian, Soren, once made a profound statement. He says, a man prayed, and at first he thought prayer lies in talking. But he became more and more quiet until in the end he realized prayer is listening. And so may we quiet our heart, remove any life distraction, and learn to talk less and listen more when we pray. And may we cultivate a listening heart, like Samuel in the Bible, who said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Now, the second habit to cultivate, make good or best use of your time, taken from verse 16. Now, it says that redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, for us, to redeem is the salvation word. Originally, actually came from the marketplace. It means to buy back or to purchase something. You redeem something when you buy it for your own use. Now, the Greek language actually has two basic words for time, chronos and kairos. And the word chronos refers actually to the passage of time in terms of the hours, minutes, or seconds ticking away. So, for example, how long has this gone on for? And then the reply may be 1 week. And so that is chronos time. And from that we get the word chronology, chronos. And then the other word is called kairos. And it refers not to the passage of time, but an appointed time. And so it requires a right response during that opportune time. In other words, make good or best use of this opportune time, or you'll miss it altogether. And so regarding chronos time, do you realize that life on earth is short compared to eternity? In our modern world, the pace of life is getting faster. And we want to live a long life, and yet it is important that we live rather than exist. And so we want a sense of purpose and meaning in life that counts for God. And so in our normal human behavior, we want to get the max out of everything. For example, get the maximum value for money. Or we want to maximize the utility, or we want to minimize the cost. And yet we neglect the importance of maximizing our spiritual life for Christ and for eternity. And so we have only one life to live, only given one lifespan. And one of the things that will be accessed by the Lord Jesus is the use of our time. And that is why Psalm 90 verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And there are three things that you can do with your lifespan. One is that you can squander it. That means waste your life. Second, you can spend it. It means consume it. And then the third is that you can invest in it. And so live your life well and live it wisely by godly wisdom, not by indulgence, but by investment, by purposeful living. Now, why some people experience or accomplish and experience more for God, and they get more out of life, and they do more things that matters for God and has value in eternity? Now, we cannot afford to live our life to chance alone. So let us not mark time, but use time. Use the time that we have left to make a mark for God's kingdom. And as much as possible, serve God and others with our time. And someone said, the only piece of eternity that we hold in our hand is the opportunity at hand, right now, the present. Now, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. And today is the gift. And that is why it is called the present. A present for you and I. And let me examine the life application in the two facets of time. Now first we have chronos time, or the passage of time. And then the second is the kairos time, appointed time. Now, as for Chronos time, be mindful not to waste unnecessary time in our digital device in this digital world. Now, in this digital world, many people waste lots of time in what we hold in our hand, our smartphone. And social media and internet actually are changing the way people spend their time. According to a data reported statistics, about 4.6 billion people in the world are active users of social media. And this is about 60% of the world population. But in Australia, the percentage actually higher, 80% or about 21 million active users of social media. And what is more alarming is that on the average, each user spends about 2.5 hours per day, 2.5 hours a day on social media alone. Now, if you set aside 8 hours of sleep and rest, you literally spend about 16% of your life on the digital platform. And that is lots of percentage. And many people in the young generation, in the Generation Z, that means those born in the year 2000 plus and minus 5, they spend up to 8 hours a day on their phone and touching the phone over a few hundred times a day. And so on average, they check their phone over 100 times in a 12-hour day, which is once in every 7 to 8 minutes. And so this leads to a short attention span, as they are being programmed to be constantly entertained through TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram video. Now, more alarming is that 40% of the young adults are self-diagnosed as addicts, or addicted rather. So let's be honest, no matter what generation we are part of, whether it's X, Y, Z, or even the older generation, right, that digital device and social media can become a pocket idol that demands our time, attention, and allegiance. Now, I'm not saying don't use social media at all. But what I'm saying is do a self-examination. Make sure that it is not excessive and it is not addictive. Now, for that matter, any form of compulsive or addictive behavior is harmful. And so, if you use, let's say, your device on the average 2 hours or more a day, other than the Bible or news reading, it is considered excessive and unhealthy according to some medical research. And so make sure that we do not squander our time away by spending too much and unnecessary time on social media, or for that matter, on any other media. And so next, with regards to application, with regards to Kairos time, the appointed time. Now, for some appointed time or opportune time, catch it while you can, lest it be not available again. Now, Kairos time can be seasonal or one-off. Right, for example, spending quality time with your children when they are young. Now, it is important because during those formative years, it will have the greatest impact in relationship bonding and nurturing their character. And so, another example. Now, last year, in July 2024, Pastor Samuel from Singapore invited Pastor Irene and I to minister and teach a group of China pastors and leaders in Thailand in November. Now, as I prayed on this invite, I was led by the Holy Spirit to think that it is Kairos time. And so, because I received many insightful teaching on the book of Revelation and from God and from other good teachers. And I don't know how many more years I have left on this planet Earth. And so we sense that it was an opportune time, a Kairos moment to teach and impart what we have to these China pastors and leaders. And so that they can return to their homeland to impart some of this spiritual teaching to their flocks and also to the next generation. And so for Kairos time, if you miss it, you may not get it back again. Just like when the children are young, when they are growing up, if you don't spend time with them during those formative years, you will not get it back again. And so, important to grab hold of the Kairos time. Whatever Kairos time that you may identify in whatever seasons of your life, you need to catch it before you lose it. And then the third godly habit is what I call living and doing God's will. Taking from verse 17, it says that therefore do not be foolish, but understand, he says, understand what the will of the Lord is. Now we don't just try to do things without first understanding what the will of God is. And so we need to pause, we need to process, and we need to understand what is the will of God. Now the will of God is first focus on the being. The being precedes the doing. Now we tend to look at what God wants us to do, while God is firstly concerned with who and what we are becoming. Now to prove the point of what I'm saying, now you notice that before Jesus started doing any ministry at River Jordan, and when he was baptized, God said of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, let me kind of pause for a moment. Let me ask you this question. Why is it that before Jesus did anything, God the Father in heaven already said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased"? What is God the Father so pleased about with Jesus, even before he began the ministry, before he did anything? Because God was totally pleased with who Jesus is. His being, meaning his character, you know, his humility, his meekness, his patience, his gentleness, his faithfulness, his self-control, etc. And Jesus did not rush into ministry straight away as a teenager, but he waited patiently until the age of 30 in full obedience and submission to the Father. And so the being of Jesus preceded his doing. Therefore, God's will is for us to grow into Christ-like character first. And because we were first created, or we were created in the image of God, to bear God's image. And that image has been marred after Adam and Eve fell into sin. And so after redemption, God's primary task is to restore us into the image of Christ to be Christ-like. Written in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. So this means that God's priority is for us to grow into the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And this means living out His will, growing and bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so, his secondary task is for us to do His will. And many people ask, what is God's will for me to do? And if you want to know God's will, then do the will of God that you already know, as written in the Bible. And many times we ask God to tell us what to do, and I imagine Him saying, "I already have told you in my word, but you are not doing what I have said to do." Oh, if you want the Almighty God to guide you, then start moving on those things that you already know He wants you to do. Now, if you understand His word, you will understand His will. And so to start off with, for example, there are hundreds and even maybe thousands of things that God wants you to do as written in the Bible. But to start off with, I just give you one dozen. We already know this from God's word, that this is His will. And so number one, love one another as Christ loved us. Number two, serve one another in love, Galatians 5:13. Number three, God wants you to be a good witness to others in your conduct, 2 Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Number four, testify and share about God's goodness, because his desire is everyone to be saved and come to the saving knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. And then number 5, God wants you to be sanctified and to avoid sexual immorality or any form of morality. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3. Number 6, God wants you to give thanks in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3, and also taken from Ephesians chapter 5. And then number 7, God wants you to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with him. Micah 6, 8. And then 8, God wants you to gather regularly with his people for worship. Hebrews 10, 24. Like what you are doing physically right now. Every Sunday to come to church for service, to worship the Lord and to fellowship with fellow brothers and sisters. And so this is clearly written, and this is God's will for you. And you are doing well. You're here. And then the 9th, God wants you not to marry a spiritually mismatched mate. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And then number 10, adopt an attitude of godly contentment and not to be covetous. 1 Timothy 6 verse 6. And then 11, live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. So focus not on the temporal things that can be seen, but eternal things that cannot be seen. And which means to say we live for eternity. You know, that is life after death. And therefore there are a lot of things that we do, you know, is not just for the present, you know, because we think of the consequences after death. And that is why we walk not by sight, but we live by faith. And then number 12, persevere in your prayer and not lose heart. And I know that many of you have been praying for some things and have not come to pass. You know, and so I encourage you to pray and not lose heart. Clearly written in Luke chapter 18 verse 1. And so there are dozens and dozens of things already clearly written in the Word of God, which is his will for you. All right. And so number 4 habit. To cultivate, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, once a person is saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in that person. So it is already in that person. And so why Paul admonished believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And let me explain. Now, in this verse, Paul actually draws a comparison and also a contrast between the wine and the spirit. Drunkard and spirit-filled people have one thing in common, and they are both under the heavy influence of another agent. And so their life and their behavior are radically influenced by that which fills them. And so if a man is drunk with wine, he talks and he does stupid things. And it impairs his judgment, his feelings, and his thoughts, and his decision-making. And so sooner or later, he will get into all kinds of trouble. Now, on the other hand, if a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, God will have a controlling interest, or rather influence in his life. Now, it is controlled by consent. And so his judgment and his decision, because it's being influenced by the Holy Spirit, will only bring good outcome. And so being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you have more of the Spirit, because everyone already have the Holy Spirit in us. But it means whether the Spirit has more of you. Now, this doesn't mean all at once, any more than you get drunk all at once. Being filled with the Spirit happens as you continually choose to live under the Holy Spirit influence. And so the central issue of being filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is our cooperation and our surrender. Now, am I going to cooperate and surrender to the Holy Spirit and let him lead me? Or am I going to try to do things my own way? Now, many of us struggle regarding this. We fight the Lord because we want to do things our way. And God say, all right, if you want to do it, then go and do it your way for a while. But it's not going to work. And it's going to hurt you. And after some attempt, we fail. And then we cry out to the Lord. And he says, are you now willing to cooperate and surrender to me now? Now, as and when we surrender and we cooperate and more of ourselves with the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit will have more and more of us to accomplish God's will. Now, God is already ready, always willing to fill you right now. And he's urging us to make the way for him. And so, the application, what posture do you need to adopt to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, imagine trying to fill a jar that is already full of something else. You simply can't fill it because it's already full. Now imagine our empty jar with the lid that is screwed tight. You can't fill that jar either. And so some Christians are so full of themselves and they have no room for the Holy Spirit. Or some Christians simply close their hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit. And so there must be humility. Then you must say, Lord, I'm empty and I need to be filled by your Spirit. And there must be this willingness, and Lord say, I'm open to you and let your Spirit fill me now. And so as long as we are humble and willing to yield or surrender to God, we can be filled with the Spirit. And as we yield more and more to the Holy Spirit, we will be empowered progressively to do more exploits for God. And now the Holy Spirit is never merely given for our own personal enjoyment. And God sent His Spirit to enable us to live for Christ in the world. For example, we all want a revival in our community and nation. We do. Yes, we do. Now we pray like this, oh Lord, change the world. But be reminded, it is not the people out there that need to be revived by God's Spirit first. It is you and me. Right, that need to be changed and to be revived first before we can go and change the world. And then habit number 5, worship God with vitality. Verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so may I urge you, right, to cultivate a habit to worship the Lord heartily and with vitality. All right, first thing, may we put more life into our praise and worship. Clap your hands and raise your hands in worshiping the Lord. Feel free to dance, you know, before the Lord if you want to. And so basically be expressive and be lively in your worship. It is written in the Word of God. Now, after actually showing our Thai mission trip in a video clip to you people 2 weeks ago, a sister actually said this. She said, unlike us, he says the persecuted pastors and leaders from China are so lively and so expressive in their worship. And so praise and worship now is a very powerful thing. It is one of the intrinsic nature of man. Because part of God's purpose of creating us is actually worship. And so there is a longing and there is a vacuum inside each of us to worship. But many actually worship the wrong thing. They worship the idol of money or the idol of power or lust. Or they worship the wrong person, the celebrity. And that longing inside us can only be rightfully fulfilled or filled by worshiping our true and the living God, the Lord Jesus. And so many people don't realize that you become what you worship. You become what you worship. Now Psalm 115 verse 4 says, the idols and the silver and the gold, the work of man's hand, and those who make them are like them. And so is everyone who trusts in them. And so when you gaze in admiration and wonder at something or someone, you begin to take on something of the character of the object that you worship. And that is why worship is a very powerful thing. Now, worship will produce change, either for good or for bad in your life. And so you must be genuine, of course, in your worship. You know, not just going through the motion. And so worship has the power to change a person through impartation, be it good or be it bad. And when we choose to worship the true and the living God in truth and in spirit, over time, it has the power to progressively change us into the character of God. And whatever, as I said, you choose to worship, that is what you choose to become. Now, when we cease to worship and reflect God's holy nature, we will end up reflecting the nature of another being instead. And so, for example, if you worship money, you will become covetous, greedy, and calculative and stingy. We are money faced. Alright. If you worship illicit pleasure, you will become lustful, self-gratifying, and perverted. And if you worship power, you will become aggressive, domineering, ruthless, and manipulative. And you will worship some of those superstar or celebrity. You know, you will act like them, you will behave like them. You know, this is what happened. And so, it can change you. And so if you want a positive change in us, we want to worship God, the true and the living God who created us. And so in conclusion, as we reflect on the past year 2024, and we look at 2025 and beyond, may we be mindful to be good stewards of God's resources that He has allocated or allotted to each one of us. And so number one, let us not squander our life and time, but live our life purposefully for the Lord in 2025 and beyond. And number two, may God give us the grace to focus on things that matter and count for eternity. And so at times you need to question yourself. You're so busy doing this and that. But does it count for the Lord, and does it count for eternity? Does it matter? And so important to reevaluate your time, your usage of time, and to know that you are spending your time wisely. And so may we cultivate the five godly habits for 2025 and beyond. And so a quick reminder, walk wisely. And by that I mean learn to listen more to God first before you make your move. And then number two, make good or best use of your time. And then number three, living out God's will and doing His will. And number four, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then five, I urge all of you to worship the Lord with vitality. Put more life and passion and enthusiasm in your worship. And may the Lord help us all. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. Shall we stand for the enclosing praise song? If anyone wants...